like I said, a lot going on, talking about Afghanistan, the situation there. There's a lot of, I made a post the other day on Facebook where I was like, you know, I really want to share my thoughts. I have a lot of them, you know, especially being a combat vet, just in general, and having that perspective. And, you know, it's, you sit back, and after I saw some of the comments and some of the posts people were making, I just decided, you know what, it's not even worth it. It's not worth the energy. People in so many areas and so many situations, when they have determined something to be their truth, not necessarily truth, but their truth, their perspective, their version, their narrative, they very rarely are open to an intelligent, intellectual, rational conversation, unless it agrees with their narrative and their point of view. And so I stopped, you know, I decided against it. And, you know, several people messaged me and, you know, commented on the post and shared their thoughts and wanted to know my thoughts. And then Dax brought it up tonight. Hey, why don't we talk about this? Somebody else shot me a message. Was, hey, why don't you guys talk about what's going on in Afghanistan? And we always appreciate the thoughts and the feedback of you guys that are listening, because obviously if you're not engaged in the conversation, it's kind of pointless. So that's kind of where we're at. And so before I spew all my thoughts about it, you know, Dax or Steve, you guys can go ahead and kick us off.
Well, I have, can you hear me now? I have very few thoughts on the matter because I have no connection to the situation directly. And so militarily or politically, I have a stance of the U.S. not needing to be or shouldn't be the world police, and I've had that same stance since I became aware of our international situation, most likely in 2001, when 9/11 happened. But regardless of that opinion, there are people that are being displaced and are suffering currently. In the country of Afghanistan, simply because either they're not welcome or they're being displaced because they're not from Afghanistan, and so they have to leave. And they're being allowed to leave, which is amazing, if they have the proper credentials, right? And so my wife just asked me tonight if there are people that need a place to stay, are we going to accept them into our house? And, you know, it's a thought. You always think of the safety of your kid first. I mean, that's the first thing I think of. But then I think of the safety of their kids. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I'll say it publicly right now. If there's a family from over there that's getting kicked out, you need a place, I'm here. We're here. I've got a room in the attic that's perfectly fine, has a couch. I just have to buy an air conditioner to put up there for you. But I got a place for you.
That's real.
But besides that, no matter who you are, honestly, if you're from there, need something. Besides that, I've got no military connection to it besides my cousin and brother, so I have no personal experience over there. I am not, I'm not a Muslim, so I don't have that direct connection to what really is the difference between the Taliban's understanding of what they're doing and what some other sects and people have an understanding of what is going on. So I'm just here to say that if people need help from coming over there, I think we've got a place for them. And I'm interested in hearing what the two of you have to say about this. So what's up? What do you got going on?
Well, Vernon, real quick, Vernon says, I agree with Steve, we don't need to be the world's police. You know, so there's that aspect of it. I will say this to kind of, and I think I'll probably get more into it as we progress, but the whole, hey, if you need a place to stay, I've got it, you know, that's going to alarm the nativists, you know, that whole, you know, oh, we can't let them in. And there's already that fear mongering going on already. And, you know, especially from groups of people to profess to love their neighbor as themselves and profess to be a light to the world and salt to the earth. And, you know, and that's where a lot of the fear mongering is coming from, unfortunately. And it's like you completely contradict what you say you stand for, at least what you stand for a couple hours on Sunday morning. Anyway, and, you know, so that's disheartening. You know, that you're already seeing and hearing that, and from politicians right down to, you know, local preachers, you know, unfortunately. But Dax, go ahead, man.
First off, my condolences to the Afghani families that lost lives, family members. This is a rough time. We got a lot going on all at once across this world. We got calamity after calamity. Flood after flood. Haiti just dealt with a flood that killed over 1,500 people, I want to say.
The earthquake, yeah.
Yeah, the earthquake, excuse me. And then we have this this geopolitical warfare going on, which is horribly mixed in with religion. And one that is mine. And I take heart to it because of how I learned about Islam. It was supposed to be, you know, it's this religion of peace. It's a religion of order. It's a religion of defense, not offense. And that's what a lot of people really miss out when it comes to Islamic culture. And that's exactly what it is. Culture, religion, everything that's displayed from Islamic law to the way we pray, everything is a culture to us because it's a daily thing. That is Sharia. That is Islamic law. A lot of people get afraid of that word, and it should be no fear to it. The word itself, Sharia, has been propagandized with the cutting off of hands, the beheading of women, and things like that. It is not even like that. Now, Sharia is this. Allah says to pray 5 times a day. That is Sharia. Allah says to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, per the Prophet Muhammad. That is Sharia. Anything that comes out of the Quran and the Ahadith that's in the Sunnah, that is Sharia. If it gives an order, that is Sharia. Now, the fiqh is the science behind it, the commentary. How far should we go with this? How far is needed to go with this offense? You know what I mean? When it comes to rape in the Islamic law, everybody talks about in America, man, if they rape somebody, they should kill him. Why did you just give him 10 years? Well, that's because we don't use Islamic law. Islamic law, if you're a rapist and you admitted to raping, you are going to die. That's exactly what it is. That's the penalty for rape. We always ask this. But at the same time, we are afraid because it's a foreign thing to us. We always think that Islam is this Arabic, exotic type of system, when only 15% of Arabs are Muslim. Everyone else is worldwide, outside of Southwest Asia. So it has to be an understanding about this religion that we just throwing around all of a sudden, like it's, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that it's the most holiest thing there is, but at the same time we have to look at how the Taliban is treated, and we got to look at how the Ku Klux Klan was treated. Because for one, the Ku Klux Klan used Christianity. The Taliban used the exclusive Islam. So you're really going to use the Taliban to be this model for religion. For a religion that's more extensive than the way that they're acting.
That would be like the rest of the rest of the world's or other faith groups' view of Christianity being based off of how the KKK operates.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah. That, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's frustrating. It even though no, that's not my faith. That's not what I believe. But at the same time, it's frustrating when you see extremists of any faith or any thought process, honestly. And you get put in situations that, or you see situations where legitimately human rights are being violated.
Yeah.
And when you know that that's not the whole culture, or you know that's not the whole faith group, or you know that, but people capitalize on that spectrum because it fits their narrative. I mean, you probably remember, I know I remember, after September 11th, right around Fort Stewart over there in Hinesville, anywhere that had a business where the owner was an immigrant of some type, especially, of, Middle Eastern descent, or, they would have the little signs, God bless America, we love America, and American flags, and they were like overly trying to project, hey, we love and support this country, because people all of a sudden, if you were Muslim, then you were just as at fault as everyone involved in September 11th. You were just as at fault as, and that seemed to be the thought process of so many people, unfortunately.
That's Western ideology.
What's that?
That's Western ideology.
Mm-hmm.
You put one person in a category, everybody does.
And it's, it's frustrating from that aspect. It's frustrating that after 20 years, but here's the thing. Everybody says 20 years.
Yeah.
This ain't the first time we've dabbled in Afghanistan, first of all. We're not the first country, regime, military that has attempted to shift, whatever you want to call us, depending on your perception of us, but we're not the first ones to attempt to make some type of substantial change in Afghanistan. Years and multiple countries, multiple regimes have essentially shown up, dabbled, tried, and been forced out or left because they couldn't make any substantial change. That's one thing that I think people fail to realize when it comes to various aspects. As far as from a military aspect, it's one thing if I'm fighting a soldier. It's one thing if I'm fighting over land, property, weaponry, vehicles, materials. That's one thing. It's another if I'm fighting an idea. It's another if I'm fighting an ideology. You're not going to just change that because you physically overpower your enemy. And that's a huge aspect that I think a lot of people don't realize when they look at Afghanistan start to finish.
Just real quick before I forget,
mm-hmm.
Not only is it what you just said, but if you try to force physically, sometimes you embolden that opposite ideology even
exactly.
Further than they were starting. So go ahead, sorry.
No, definitely. No, that's definitely true. And, so you have that aspect. That's the first thing that our military was up against. Like, this wasn't strictly military. And it was initially our response to, that September 11th, and we need to stop ISIS, stop Al-Qaeda, find Obama or Osama, and find Osama, and handle that. Well, we did that, and we still stayed. I don't think, number one, whether or not we should have gone over there, we were there. But I think we've been there. We were there way too long. I think this should have happened a long time ago, as far as us pulling out. Now, the one thing that is extremely frustrating to me is to listen to the blame game. it's all the Biden administration's fault. If Trump was there, if Trump, you know, oh, we'd do this. Well, first of all, this particular pullout plan was initially drafted by the Trump administration. However, it is not all Trump's administration's fault. Biden's administration has screwed up. Trump's administration screwed up. The Obama administration screwed up, and the Bush administration screwed up in reference to Afghanistan. They all have a part to play in it.
Keep going.
You can't, exactly.
Sent the guns over in the 90s.
You know, exactly.
And then before that, same shit.
Yep, with Reagan, and no, definitely. You know, 100%. You know, it used to be Reagan was the president that, you know, the churches loved and adored, and then Trump showed up and Reagan got kicked to the curb. But they, each one of these administrations over the years have a part to play in what took place. Now, did Biden's administration drop the ball and a sloppy pullout? 100%. 100%. It was. You can't tell me, you know, like today I saw reports where senior military officials at the Pentagon were saying things to the effect of they didn't have intel that the Taliban would be able to move that swiftly. Well, if they capture that many major cities in less than a week, that's pretty much enough intel to let you know something ain't right. You know, so they dropped the ball there, in my opinion. You know, obviously I feel that, you know, especially people that worked with our military over there are definitely, they're high risk now. You know, if they find out you were an interpreter, if they find out that you, you know, it's not going to be a pat on the back and, hey, it's going to be okay, let's just live our lives. Like, it's not going to be that. And so I feel we have a responsibility there that maybe we shouldn't have had we not stayed as long as we have, but we did stay. We created that responsibility and we bailed on it. You know, so I take issue with that. I take issue with all the geopolitical experts who I wish I had the career path so many that I know have. They graduated high school. They, you know, worked in a restaurant. They kicked around on unemployment for a little bit. They got themselves a good job. They became infectious disease experts. And then in a matter of a week became Middle East and military experts. I wish I had that career path. Unfortunately, I don't. But I can say as an individual, and I was talking to another veteran that I know, a friend of mine, he was in the Navy, and he and I were having the conversation about it's one thing to experience, like, from the ship, and you're catching mortar fires and skiffs and watching stuff explode and, you know, close calls. It's another thing to go door to door and have a muzzle in your face or a muzzle in someone else's face and, you know, come around the corner and have a T-72 barrel staring at a soft skin Humvee. Like, that's a different level of pucker factor, you know, and it's a different level of experience. And so when you have so many people that are so adamant about war and do this and blow this up and you should have killed them and you should have done this and we should have sent more troops and we should have, you know, and it's like, it's generally the people that haven't experienced combat that are quick with those statements, you know. And I know myself, like, I wouldn't hesitate to do what I need to do as a soldier even now. However, experiencing what I've experienced, I don't long for it. I don't hope for it. I hope to avoid it. But if it has to happen, I'm ready, if that makes sense. You know, so you have a perspective of people that think the answer should have just been gunning people down. I don't think that's the right thing either, you know. My deployment happened years ago. One thing that I can say, though, is that many of the reports that I've read and seen from multiple sources, not just one particular news station that favors my thought process, but that the Afghanistan security force, essentially their army, rolled over and played dead. They didn't fight back. And if after all this time, this equipment and this training, you're not willing to fight for your own country, there's not much we can do. We can't continue to be a babysitter forever. You know? And do I think that the removal of troops should have happened differently? Yeah, I do. I think there was a much better way to handle it. You know, go ahead, Dex.
It really makes me wonder who was on that plane. Who was running on the tarmac that day?
Mm-hmm.
Because from the way that just the way you put it, just recently, you know what I'm saying, the Afghan army gave away everything. Basically, they just hey, have it. But now you got the Taliban coming in with their white banner, talking about they're shooting everybody down the street. So who's at the tarmac, though, mm-hmm. running for their lives? If the people, quote-unquote, are saying that they're living better under the Taliban, that's what I've been hearing, too. And that's sad to even hear because they're not a good example.
Right. It's frustrating because, like I said, you know, talking to other veterans that I know and that I'm close with and that have served in that region, in that area, a lot of the conversation is, you know, you do reflect and you do have mixed emotions because you're like, what was it all for?
Right.
What did I lose close friends for? What did families lose loved ones for? What did, you know, and not even over there, but what about the ones that came home and couldn't reintegrate into society because of what they experienced? You know, what was it all for? Because it looks like we just said, you know what, forget it. But, you know, at some point, who was it, Kenny Rogers? The song, The Gambler? You gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. And I don't think we should have ran. I think we should have walked away. But we ran. And it's created a very embarrassing situation for the U.S., honestly. You know, people liken it to Saigon. I think that's an unfair and unrealistic comparison, personally. That's just an outside perspective. But let's for just a minute talk about all the military equipment that was captured by the Taliban.
I was watching an interview. It wasn't an interview. It was a live broadcast of the Secretary of Defense, and I think the commanding general of the armed forces, whoever that guy was. Anywho, seemed important. And the stupid part of the whole thing, he was very professional and certainly gave prepared answers, but it was clearly dictated from a military perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The Secretary of Defense was obviously a politician, but that guy was straight military. And the stupid reporters, talking about the ignorance of the people here that just make claims and say things without even thinking about what it means or who it affects or even having a perspective that matters. The journalists were asking the military guys stupid questions like yes, are you planning on creating missions to blow up equipment that was left behind? Are you planning on, or what is your plan to protect the defenses of the outside of the airport, which is the hot button topic right now, the mm-hmm. airport, so everyone can leave. But they're asking like tactical questions, like we want to reveal all of our secrets on live television to the whole world about your stupid wants and needs to put in your newspaper. And I just don't, like I said, I don't want to be the world police over here. I don't think it's right. But if we are going to be doing things like this, we have to deal responsibly with the aftermath of
exactly
the things that we caused, literally caused, even though we were trying to help. And revealing to, I don't know if right now the Taliban is our enemy. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if they are. They say they did not, from what I saw, they said they have no axe to grind. They don't want to start a war. They don't want to fight anybody. And in fact, they said they hold no grudge against those who may have worked with their enemies in the past. But what I have a problem is with the reporters being stupid, mostly.
So that was one of my complaints when when we went to Iraq, right? Even sitting in Kuwait before we crossed the berm into Iraq, that was one of the things I never understood. Like, y'all seriously, and everybody back here, you know, they all feel they have a right to know, because every American, when they want something, all of a sudden becomes a right, and if it's uncomfortable to them, all of a sudden you're violating their rights. But we're not going to think of the rights to security and potentially my life as the soldier that you care so much about and you support so much. You would much rather, I know I'm kind of on a soapbox right now. I really hate this, you know, we're going to conveniently talk about pray for our troops, support our soldiers. You know, all this stuff is all over Facebook right now. And I'm a combat vet. I'm down for supporting our soldiers. My son's enlisted in the Marine Corps. Like, I'm all about support the troops and support the soldiers, but not just when it's convenient. Not just when you're trying to shift blame from one direction or another, or it fits your story. Like, you can keep that fake love. You really can. You can keep the fake love. Because at the end of the day, if you go through your day, and you go through your week, and you go through your month, and you go through your year, and the soldier isn't a concern to you, I don't want to hear about how much you support our troops. I don't. Maybe that's wrong, maybe that's rude, maybe that's nasty, but if you're going to support something, support it. You know,
America has been living a lie for years upon years, talking about patriotism, we support the troops, all this. Bro, we would not be eating tea rations in 2003. We wouldn't have.
You know, I had... So the whole reporter thing, right? And we got to know everything and make everything public. And no, I'm sorry. Like, I agree, Steve. Not everything should be or needs to be, especially when it comes to the security of the troops or trying to get, you know, Americans out of Afghanistan, helping our allies, the people that supported us over there. But we're not doing an effective job of that right now. I will say that. We're dropping the ball there. And I don't think we need to drop the ball. I think we can establish and you know, make that process much more smoother than what it has been and what it is right now. You know, in 2020, what was it, mid-2020 when Trump had contracted COVID? The Taliban actually had made statements to the effect that they were worried because of his age that he might not survive, and they wanted him to survive because they wanted him to win the presidency to make sure that he pulled the troops out of Afghanistan, you know, and endorsing him for president. You know, you have Trump's administration legitimize the Taliban by saying that they were willing to work with them in order to address Al-Qaeda and ISIS and et cetera. And now that this situation has happened, all of a sudden that was forgotten, and the Taliban bad, and, you know, Biden bad. And listen, they all these administrations jacked it up in one fashion or another, you know. And unfortunately, it's the soldiers that pay the price. It's the other Americans over there that are paying a price. And then most importantly, it's the Afghan people. Most importantly, that are paying the price, and a lot of the families already experiencing loss. But when your own army won't fight, you can't do much. You know, we can't stay there and hold your hand. Eventually, you got to do it yourself. And you know, the equipment that was seized by the Taliban, are you going to destroy it? Well, first of all, it's outdated. We gave it to them. Like, we essentially gave it to the Afghan army. I mean, do these people understand that when we pulled our troops out, we weren't taking the Black Hawks with us that already had the new paint job with the Afghan flag on it? We weren't bringing those Black Hawk home.
Bro, them cats got ACOGs and M4s.
You know, I don't think people really understand. They take bits and pieces of what they hear and they run with it, you know? Yeah. And I'm not saying the situation is good. I'm not saying it's been handled well. I'm not pushing blame on one person or another. Us as a country, as a military, we dropped the ball. We dropped the ball years ago. You know,
well, we dropped the ball when we wanted to sit there and say that this whole country is scoped on to look for one man when we knew where he was in the first place. We wasted time. We wasted time looking for Bin Laden, knowing where he was in the first place. We could have went ahead and took him out a long time ago. But then we put people, this collateral damage, right in the way of it, so we can make it a spectacular event, so it can hit the history books. They already hit the history books when the Twin Towers hit. That was enough. That was enough right there.
Let me ask a question. Right, I want to talk about the training. And Steve, obviously you haven't served, but Dex, how much training did we get before we were expected to be an effective soldier?
I've served pizza before.
I hate you.
What, before a deployment? Or...
Just in, before we were expected to be an effective soldier.
Oh, basic training?
Basic training and AIT. A matter of months.
A matter of months.
A handful of months. Exactly. So we'll say for some a year, right? We'll say a year.
Yeah.
And that's depending on specialty. But your average soldier in a matter of months is expected to be an effective combat ready asset.
In 3 months.
You're not considered a person, you're an asset.
You're a robot.
You are a combat asset.
Yeah.
In a matter of months. These jokers have had how many years? Yeah, I mean, if you start to finish, but let's just even say 5.
All right, you can say that.
After 5, I mean, come on now, like there's a point where, and like you said, Steve, like you started, we shouldn't be the world police, you know. And as a veteran, I wholeheartedly agree. We should not be the world police. We shouldn't be, you know. What's that?
Got bloodthirsty politicians?
You know, I'm not...
That's a major part of the problem. Mm-hmm. It's because it isn't about the other countries. It may be about forcing democracy sometimes, but when we go over and you say we knew where Bin Laden was, and we decide to make the wars about many other things other than actually solving or responding to a problem, then you know that we shouldn't be there in the first place.
All of a sudden now, Afghanistan does not have any opium or poppy seed plants, none of that. None. The drug war is over.
Yeah, it's not heroin anymore.
It's just, the whole thing's unfortunate, and I'm not trying to make light of it at all, but it's frustrating to watch people, especially people that say that they're open-minded to a conversation, turn around and say, oh, that's just like this group and that group, just to push blame to the other group. Like, to me, I'm sorry. Like, you've prevented me from wanting to even have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Because now I know that if I don't agree with you, you're just going to blow it off as, oh, it's not true, it's fake, it's this, it's that. And, I mean, I don't know, man. I think... we could have, should have, and still need to do a better job with this egress out of there, you know, this redeployment out of there. And it's unfortunate, the people that have lost their lives, the chaos that's ensued. I wish it would have been a different outcome. It's rough. But to try to blame any administration individually is foolish, personally.
It's not the point.
It's well past that, and that's not saying that people shouldn't take responsibility for dropping the ball, because people need to, you know, and because the Afghan people, these soldiers, they're the ones paying the price, you know, ultimately, and it's unfortunate.
The one thing that I another thing that I think about with this is there's so much distraction going on with this airport and getting people out. What is going on behind the scenes? What is the Taliban, if they have intentions other than what they have stated clearly their intentions are, which I presume they have other intentions. I don't know, but I'm presuming. I hope not.
Like,
but they're so close. Well, now that they're in charge, they have the resources. They have the location. They're not hidden. They can communicate with their allies in Iran and Pakistan that may be underground, and they could be coordinating things while the whole world is distracted by this airport situation, trying to get their people out. And I just fear what's going to happen in the next 6 months.
They did release, what was it, almost 5,000 prisoners that were being held there. They released them. There's already, I've seen various articles in reference to them being, I don't know if they've already started, but they're definitely willing and open to start, you know, having conversations with like the likes of North Korea, China, Russia, you know, individuals that we view as, you know, I don't necessarily want to say
non-allies.
Yeah, non-allies. I don't want to say enemies, but, you know, non-allies. What's that?
Your socialist allies.
You know, and it's just, so I mean, I think there is a level of valid concern as far as, you know, what could happen there, like you said. But at the same time, even with that being said, it's not our job to police the world.
It's not.
And it's not our job to force democracy on people.
Right.
It really is not.
It's not. And the sad thing is, like, the reason why the Taliban even came to life, per se, is because the Afghani government would not give justice to the families that, you know what I'm saying, that suffered murders, robberies, none of that. Taliban said, all right, y'all don't want to actually give justice to the people that really actually need it? We got you. And this is what this propaganda brought about.
It's interesting to see so many, you know, organizations and groups and even what has become governments, regimes, that they start with like a just cause, so to speak, a lot of them, you know. I mean, you even think about, and the comparison, I guess, maybe it's a stretch, but like gangs in the U.S., a lot of gangs in the U.S. just started to protect their communities, you know. You have groups like two major groups in Chicago, right? Gangsta Disciples and Vice Lords both started to protect their communities, you know, essentially. And they grew from there. You know, a lot of these other, you know, communities. And it's a shame that somewhere along the line, the purpose got distorted. And they become what they are now. You know, like we're talking about how the Taliban has distorted, essentially, Islamic law and the faith. You know, and you have those extremists. And it's frightening to hear the way people are talking here in the States. You know, like we're blaming immigrants for the issues with COVID. It's not because Americans won't do what they need to do. It's because immigrants are coming across the border. You know, so there's that. And now we've got all these Afghan, you know, refugees. No, stay out of our country. We don't want you here. Go somewhere else. Like, really? You know, and you hear the statements about, you know, communism and socialism, it fails and it's no good. And well, how did democracy do in Afghanistan the last 20 years? You know, I mean, there's more than just, oh, it's communist, it's socialist, it's Islam, it's Christian. There's more to things than just one aspect of our lives and one aspect of our thought process. And I think, I hope people approach this whole situation the same way. Accountability is accountability. I'm down with accountability. Accountability needs to happen. You know, several people dropped the ball. There's no reason that Intel shouldn't have let us know that, hey, these jokers are coming fast. Like, when I saw that today, I had one of those sarcastic laughs, because it's like, no, like, I'm sorry, you can't try that one. You know, I couldn't take three steps in Iraq without somebody telling me something.
It's funny because I don't know who he was, the general that was speaking at the conference yesterday. Kind of insinuated that I got the impression that he felt like he knew what was going to happen, but he got the orders to do what they had to do to get people out, so they followed the orders.
Oh, brother, yeah. Yeah,
but he gave me the impression, without saying anything, I don't know why, that he knew what was going to happen, but he had no control over it. Even though he was probably a top-ranking military official, which means the decisions were made in Congress and by presidents.
Suit and ties.
I'm sure.
You know, there's something...
That's just hearsay.
There's something that us boots on the ground like to talk about, and that's situational awareness.
My God.
And even though the BC, the battalion commander or brigade commander or, you know, they're sitting high looking low and, you know, are in the rear, so to speak, and they're given orders.
Don't ask, don't tell. And it's
passed down, right? And it goes and company commander issues it out. You know, as a platoon leader, a platoon sergeant, a squad leader, you know, you get that information, but you have what's called situational awareness. You are there in the situation. You are aware of the factors affecting that situation, and you will make decisions that sometimes are contrary to the exact order. You're still going to carry out the mission, but you'll make decisions that shift the progression of that order, so to speak, or the details of that mission based on that situational awareness. You make the call on the ground that you think is best for the overall mission and security of the mission. And sometimes when you make those decisions, you're not looked at favorably. You know.
Isn't that called a court martial?
sometimes it can get that way depending on what the result was. But it's unfortunate. And that's why I said, like you said, he gave you that impression. You can't tell me they didn't realize. You can't try to feed me that. I'm sorry. I mean, you don't have to have any military experience, too. Like, if you claim 7 cities in 3 days, you know, major cities in 3 days, then, you move them pretty quick. You know, that's definitely a threat. You're not just going to pump... you're not going to pump...
Faster than you guys went. Faster than you guys went when you went over.
Man, listen.
Sorry.
Listen. You're not going to pump the brakes and be like, you know what, let's stop and give them a chance to figure out what's up.
Right.
You know, don't stop, get it. But I think that I appreciate the people. Like, you know, I went on my, you know, support the troops and fake love rant. I appreciate the people that do support the troops. I do. I truly do. From the bottom of my heart, I truly do. But the ones that support when it's convenient for your thought process, you can keep that. 110% you can keep that.
The fake patriotism.
You know, I'm just tired of keyboard warriors, man. I'm tired of keyboard warriors. I'm tired of people quantifying YouTube videos that agree with their thought process as research. I'm tired of it. You know, I have on the computer, I have a tile set up that has multiple media outlets, news stations that post articles, right? CNN, Washington Post, MSNBC, Business Insider, The Hill, Politico, Fox, you know, all these different, what is it?
You got Newsbreak or something?
I got Newsweek, Newsbreak. I've got...
Blaze Network?
I don't have Blaze. God, what is the one
ESPN?
from Europe, man? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank.
BBC.
You know, so I got all these different news outlets, right? And I look at this tile and all these news outlets, and all of them post positive and negative about whatever topic they're reporting about or whatever individual they're reporting about. Positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative. It doesn't lean one way or the other. You know, the positive articles obviously are written to support what they're being positive about. The negative articles are obviously written in a manner to make it more negative towards that topic that they feel is a negative, you know, or that approach. That's journalism today, unfortunately. But there's one media outlet in particular that never reports negative about certain topics or certain individuals. And to me, being that visible is a problem because so many people get their news and their information from that particular outlet. You know, and so a lot of people are formulating thoughts on this whole situation in Afghanistan with only one perspective.
Not a good idea.
You know, and I'm not saying that any perspective in particular is right, because again, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but you have to be open to explore these other perspectives that gain a full understanding without having a personal connection or a personal experience to the situation. You have to gain these other perspectives to gain a well-rounded understanding of the current situation.
It's funny, this connects back to what you were saying earlier with Reagan switching to Trump, but the reason why the news can report opinions as opposed to just facts is because of Ronald Reagan, actually. So anyway, we'll move on from there.
But it's you know, it's unfortunate. I really think we needed to go quite a while ago. We're not the world police. I definitely agree with that statement. And I just, we did a terrible job pulling out. We're doing a terrible job now. We need to fix it. But we definitely don't need to be there.
Yeah. Well, they raised the amount of troops they could have to 6,500. So I think we're going back, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
$18 trillion down the drain, that's all I got to say.
We're going back.
And thousands of bodies, thousands of souls gone.
Well, let me say this too. That the general was very clear at the end of his speech that you all, both of you, are heroes. Those who have been over there in the past are heroes. You're not for, the work that you did is not forgotten. He was very clear. To not forget everyone who has lost their lives or been over there and put forth the effort to make progress in those areas. No matter what's happening now and what decisions have been made, you guys are heroes. So just wanted to say he did not forget that.
It's, you know, this isn't on the veteran. This isn't on the soldier. It's not. You know, the soldier doesn't have anything to personally feel bad about, you know, unless they were a couple douchebag soldiers, because there are those too. But in general, you know, the soldier doesn't, this isn't on the one just following orders.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we can kind of wrap it up, because I think we've kind of, I don't know, my closing thoughts, very simply, I feel for the people. I feel for the veterans, I feel for the soldiers, and I feel for the Afghan people. The current situation is just, it's sad, it's rough. And it's very unfortunate. And I hope, you know, I've said this, you know, before, and countless people before me have said it before, maybe America will learn its lesson. I don't know, but hopefully we will. Hopefully we will. So I don't know what other thoughts you guys have.
I would say, man, like, those that are flying into El Paso, welcome. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Allah be upon you. And I hope that things get straight with the families, man, like, immediately, because this was so unneeded, bro. Like, so unneeded. We could have kept Taliban at their necks for a while. You know what I'm saying? And it could have died down, but instead, that ideology is time immemorial. So somebody's gonna get radicalized and try the same thing over and over again, somewhere else. But at the same time, it's just like we could have made things a whole lot different than the way it is right now. I've never been to Afghanistan. I did my 4 tours in Iraq. But the stories that I've heard from trooper brothers that I know that have been through the thick of it, this is a sad story. It's rough. So I really hope that those that made it over, I pray for your safety. People that are working with the kids and the parents at Fort Bliss, have some dignity. That's what I ask of you. If you're watching, have some dignity. That's where the black and brown kids that's from Haiti, Mexico, El Salvador, all those places, have some dignity. beings, they're not animals, none of that. They're human, just like you are. So just have some dignity. It's the main thing that we're looking for right now. Because a lot of folks have had it up to their necks, like, literally. It's crazy.
In closing, I'll say this. I have no military experience, but my opinion is that so many problems in the world stage and in our personal lives have to do with where you stand on what you are willing to do for money and power. Okay. I mean, every person involved in the Taliban that have forcefully taken over places, one of those two things is the reason. The reason why we did not, or why we like you said, we knew where to hit for bin Laden, but we did some other things. The reason why we did that was for money and power.
Yeah.
We don't have any say over those things in the world stage, but we each individually have a say over how we respond to opportunities or even ideas of grasping money and power. And I'm not saying those two things by themselves are innately wrong, but how you go about getting those two things in your personal lives affects those around you, and that affects the country, and that affects the world. The butterfly effect, if you will. And so what I can do right now to try and balance the scales is be open to accepting, helping people who are displaced. I can be open to assisting in whatever way that I can the negative effects of what is taking place over there. And so everybody watching, just think about those things. How can you respond in this world where many people will do whatever it takes for money and power? How do you respond in a way to balance that that effect on the influence that has on the world? That's what I'll say. That's all I'll say.
You know, I think that, I wanted to kind of say that there's individuals that don't just support or pray for our country, our government, our leaders, our soldiers, when things happen and it's all over the news. My dad, for instance, every Sunday spends time praying for whoever the administration in office is, first responders, the troops, without fail, every Sunday, whether he agrees politically or not, he prays for the individuals that are in positions of leadership and for our troops and our soldiers, and hasn't needed something to happen, you know, in Afghanistan, Iraq, or, you know, wherever, for that to be the case. And there's so many people in this country that are like that, that do consistently, you know, they do show support. And for those individuals, I say thank you. Because there's times like this that veterans and soldiers definitely need that added support, you know, when they feel like, man, what did I do it for? But also in supporting them, remember the people that are involved, just the regular people, whether they're American, whether Afghanistan, whether they're Haitian, whether they're Mexican, whether they're, I don't care where they're from. People are people. And remember that, you know, there's, you know, the things like, you know, the situation in Haiti, the assassination of the president, the earthquake, the situation in Afghanistan, situations within our own domestic borders, and from state to state, so many things going on. Try to be a good person. Disagreeing with people or not, believing the same thing as people or not, you can still be a good person. You can still show respect and concern, legitimate, empathy for the individuals that you encounter every day. And that's where we can make the biggest difference, is in our own circle of influence. But again, my heart goes out for the situation out there in Afghanistan, and hopefully it progresses in a positive manner. And like I said, hopefully we learn from it. But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I've got. You guys got anything else? Good.
Peace and
love. All right, well, we appreciate you guys tuning in and watching. Definitely appreciate the love and support. And we will catch you all next Thursday at 7:30. Y'all have a good night.
See ya.
Hey.
And that should be it.
Good job, boys.
Yeah.